Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. This is the sixth trumpet, the angels from the Euphrates. And previously we looked at the first woe. These are the three woes. And these are the most severe judgments up to this point. And the first woe, we saw the release of these demonic creatures coming out of the abyss in the form of locusts. But these were demons, obviously. The Apollyon, the devil was given authority to unlock and release this plague upon the earth. We know that Jesus has overcome the world, that he has the keys. Amen? And he only has the right to authorize the keys. He gives us the keys as well, doesn't he? To bind what's being bound in heaven and to loose on earth what's being loosed in heaven. And yet, here we see that this second of the three woes, in verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Now this has to do with that incense altar that was spoken of on the tabernacle here on earth. It represents really a prayer, a place of prayer, of intercession was offered with the incense on the altar, the golden altar. And this is where the angel had offered prayer at the beginning of the blowing of the trumpets. If we go back a little bit here. And he's saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, the fact that these angels were bound tells me that these were not good angels, but they were going to be agents of judgment. And they had been bound for a season until they were to be released at this time. And so the angel receives his command to loose these four bound fallen angels from the voice that came from the four horns of the altar. So let's take a look at this and let's read from verse 13 and through verse 21. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Now can you imagine? 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Now, horses are instruments of war. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Now this is the part that I was sharing a little bit with you about. One interpretation was putting this into a natural application, such as these being tanks, you know, and possibly the others being helicopters. And the tail, you know, if you ever see a tank with the turret faced backwards, if it would be moving, and it would seem like the smoke would be, you know, the fire and the brimstone and then the tail with the head, you know, as a serpent, and with the tail it hurts. I don't believe that, but that's one interpretation. Having heads and with them they do harm, verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Now remember I mentioned last time that as we go through these judgments, they get more and more severe as you go through. And there are certain seasons for certain judgments, certain times attached to them. And I believe throughout all of this, God is giving mankind an opportunity yet to repent. I don't believe that you and I, the bride of Christ, are going to be here on the earth during this time. I don't believe that we have been, it's very clear in Thessalonians, we've not been appointed to what? To suffer wrath, or to God's wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see also, as it was in the days of Noah, how Noah had been spared, him and his family, amen, before the wrath of God was poured out upon the earth, and also the family of Lot, except for his wife, who had turned back. They were also taken up out of Sodom and Gomorrah in the same day that God had rained fire and brimstone down on the cities. Now, if God literally rained fire and brimstone down on those cities, which the evidence, even the archaeological evidence, seems to point to, now there's lots of speculation as to what really took place there. All we know is that if God did it, he can do it supernaturally, and he can do it again. Amen?
Yep.
If he created everything, then he can take everything out.
Yeah.
And so the issue here is not to try to argue over these non-essentials, you know. But it's interesting to take a look at this. All I can tell you, folks, is that by learning these things, we can have a glimpse into how horrible things are going to be upon the earth during this time, so that you and I might have an awareness that there are people all around us that need to be warned to flee from the wrath of God to come. Amen? There is coming a day he is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man he's ordained. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge this world, the sin-sick world. And you and I in Christ are to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen? For the time when he's going to call us up to meet the Lord in the air. And I don't believe we have been appointed to this season, this time frame. But it's interesting to take a look at these and to get an idea of what's happening, and to also warn people again of the things that are going to be happening. Now, verse 14 saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Now, it's interesting that Euphrates was where the first man and woman were. Isn't that what it says? That in Eden, it mentioned the river Euphrates. It flowed out of that place, and that was where the first sin took place, was in that area. And the first murder actually took place there too. That was Cain and Abel, remember. This is also the area where the Tower of Babel had been erected. That was really a first corporate rebellion against God, where mankind got together and said, we will exalt ourselves. We will not have God to rule over us, because God had told them to replenish, amen, to spread out and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And man rebelled against God. And the Jews also were carried away as captives to Babylon, which is in this area. And so it's interesting that it's out of this area that these four angels, amen, are released. They're loosed. And at the same time that they are released, here comes this 200 million, I wouldn't call it a man army, because these are some type of beasts that come up out of the earth. I believe in more of a literal interpretation of this. And the reason why I say that is because there is an invisible world around us. There is a real hell. There are real, you know, demonic beings and creatures and lower sub-creatures that are there. And we see evidence of hell even in the natural world around us. Would you agree? People say this world is hell. Well, you're seeing a glimpse of hell in the natural, because what's happening in the spirit often, you know, it manifests itself in the natural. And so it seems to me that this is a release where all hell basically breaks loose. And previous to this, a quarter of the population has already died from the other judgments. And now here, a third of the population is killed by these beasts that come out. And so if you do the math, that's a little over half of the earth's population by this point is being wiped out. This is going to be a terrible time. And yet it's not complete yet. And I believe for the purpose of one more soul coming to faith and believing and calling on God and repenting of their sins. And the reason why I say that is because in verse 21 it says they did not repent of their murders. In other words, they were given an opportunity. to repent. So the four angels in verse 15 who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. God has a set time for every event that will take place on the earth in these last days. How many know that God is on the throne and that he is in control? And once these judgments are set in motion, folks, there is nothing that anyone can do to stop them from happening. They can call on the devil all they want, but the devil's under his control. Amen? I don't believe that the devil just, is not held to accountability by God. As some may think that he just kind of does whatever he wants. To a believer in Jesus Christ, to one of his own, to those who have been sealed by God, amen? To you and I. He cannot just take liberty, except if he can get us to listen to him, to compromise. Then what he does is he usurps our authority away, and he takes advantage because we have now given him permission by not listening to God, by rebelling against God. And so that's why we need to be wise to his schemes. We should not bow down. We should not compromise. We should not give any place to the devil. We don't have to give any place to the devil. The devil cannot make you do anything. We have been given authority in Jesus' name to trample on serpents and scorpions. Amen. Over all the works of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If we have been given the authority, that means that the demons are subject to us. Amen? And that they don't take permission. They don't just take advantage of us when they want. And remember Job. What happened there? Satan actually asked for permission to touch one of God's own. And God allowed it for a reason, because he was going to bless Job beyond double of what he had in the beginning, at the end. He was going to make Job even more righteous than he was. There's always a blessing in anything negative that seems to happen in our lives. There's always a positive. It's not, oh God, why? God, why did you do this? God is going to do something great in your life. I have found that people often have suffered the most can be some of the most wonderful saints. Amen. They can be some of the most powerful people too on the planet. They've been tempered by the fires. They've been purified. They've been positioned. They've been equipped. They've been made strong in the Lord through the adversities, through the difficulties. If we want to reign with Jesus, then there's going to be some suffering with him too. That's what the Bible says. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. However, thank God this is not our appointment. But God is going to fulfill his plan. And so over half the population is wiped out. Verse 16 says the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And that's why if you look at the description of these things, you know, he saw the horses in this vision, those who sat on them, and they had these breastplates of fiery red, and then the hyacinth blue, which is like a dark, dull blue, and sulfur yellow, light yellow. And their horses' heads were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And so it just seems like here, again, which is going in context of what we previously had gone through, there's just the hordes of hell are being released upon the earth. And so that which was in the invisible realm, that which was in the abyss, is now being manifested, literally, I believe, is going to be literally manifested on the earth. It's literally going to be hell on earth. And by these three, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, verse 19, and then in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Now, the prophet Joel spoke of a time of fire on the earth too, in Joel chapter 2, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Also the prophet Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. So these demonic creatures are unlike anything ever witnessed upon the earth prior to this time. You know, in some senses, it almost reminds me of dragons. You know, if you've ever looked at the Chinese folklore and what the dragons would look like with the teeth, you know, of a lion almost in the tail. And yet, they're unusual type creatures. And again, men in their stubbornness refused to repent. And verse 20 says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works. That they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which could neither see nor hear nor walk. And verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And so verse 20 and 21 lists five major sins during this time. And the first one that's mentioned is occultism. They would not repent of their sorceries. Now listen to God's warning about these things that we see are being popularized, especially like never in history, especially among our youth culture today, with the Harry Potter and the vampirism and these witch, all this interest in witchcraft and all the junk stuff they got on television today that's targeting the children and the young people. They've actually turned it into a culture. Their youth culture, they're trying to label as being this type of culture, steeped in the occult. Listen to God's warning, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Leviticus chapter 19, even verse 31. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That's human sacrifice. And probably in particular offering them to Moloch. Or one who practices witchcraft. Or a soothsayer, that's a fortune teller. Or one who interprets omens. Or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. That would be necromancy. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these things, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. He was warning the children of Israel before they went into the land not to get involved with these types of things. Because these are the very enemies that you need to kick out. Amen? You need to rid out of your life completely. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather expose them. And it's amazing and it baffles me how many Christians today are winking at a lot of this stuff. That they're letting their kids watch this garbage. They're letting them, you know, buy these books and play these demonic, you know, games that are basically teaching them how to practice witchcraft and the Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons and tarot cards and all they think it's just cute. Yeah. Folks, it is a lie and it's right out of the pit of hell. Amen. And even Christian young people are getting interested in these things. And it's demonic, and the purpose of this, of course, is to drag them away from God and destroy their soul. And so we need to be wise to these things, and we need to reprove it, we need to expose it, and let people know that this is not approved by God. Amen? I tell you, I have a lot of Christians that get mad at me when I start exposing Halloween and what it really is. Yeah. Halloween is not some cute little costume party, folks. That is the high day for the Satanists and the witchcraft and the witches every year. Amen. We should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Nothing to do with the occult world. Anything that even appears evil, flee from. Flee from all appearance of evil. And so one thing is that these major sins is this interest in the occult. Why? Because Satan himself is going to set himself up as God. He's going to be worshipped. The Antichrist will be worshipped as God. And so therefore, what's happening right now is through the false prophets. All right? They're gearing people up for the great deception to believe that the devil's actually God. In secret societies. You know, they were actually worshiping Satan, and a lot of times they don't even know the difference between the true God and the devil. And so they accept that if they say God, it must be God. And when we say God, we need to ask the question, who are we talking about? What God are you talking about? And it's interesting that even in the occult circles, they talk about peace. There's a pseudo peace. There's a false peace. Very deceptive. I read an interesting book a while back by Johanna Michelson, who is Hal Lindsey's sister-in-law, called The Beautiful Side of Evil. Anybody ever read that? And it talks about how she was deceived into believing that she was actually, you know, worshiping Jesus when she was worshiping a devil. And she got into what they call psychic healing, and she went down to Mexico to a psychic healer. And so when she was down there, and she didn't really know the Lord at that time, but she had some Sunday school and some background, and she knew a little bit about Jesus. And so they said, well, you just choose your deity, whether you want it to be Buddha or whoever, or Jesus. And when she heard Jesus, she said, well, I think I'll choose Jesus then. That sounds like a good choice, you know. And so through visualization techniques, which is a type of shamanistic or witchcraft, an altered state of mind, where you begin to visualize one of these so-called deities. And through practice, people are actually able to, through the use of their imagination, to conjure up an image in their mind. And if they're able to hold it long enough, that image will actually materialize. In other words, a being will actually reveal itself. Yeah. And so the deception is this, is that often Satan presents himself as what? Angel of light. And so this beautiful being who calls himself Jesus appears to her. And by the grace of God, you know, she was later delivered out of that. She came to a saving knowledge of Jesus and repented and turned her life over to God. But unfortunately, this thing is even creeping into the church in some ways, in some circles. Visualization techniques. How many know that we're not to have any other gods before him?
Right.
Yeah. And we worship the Jesus of the Bible. And if it doesn't line up with this word right here, it's not the right Jesus.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, our Jesus, did not compromise at all with the devil. He did not mention any of these other deities. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, murder is another of the major sins mentioned here. In Noah's day, the earth was filled with violence, it tells us in Genesis 6. And the same is true in our world today. Even to the degree that murder has become sport. We're seeing the beginnings of things, even where the extreme sports and the extreme fighting and the things that are taking place, that were becoming more and more like the Romans of the ancient Rome, where they took sport, you know, of the blood, you know, sport, and to the point where even murder was celebrated. It became entertainment. And I see that happening even in our nation now. It's getting more and more violent all the time. Look what's happening among our children with the bullying and how far it's gone. And recent, you know, reports coming out about even now the girls, you know, just beating each other senseless, you know. And there's a sport. They're making sport out of hurting people, out of violence. And of course, yes, they're filling their minds with all this junk. And they're bringing in the wrong message. This is, you know, like terrorism even, and pleasure killing. I watched something the other night. I don't know if any of you had seen this. It was Dateline, I believe it was. And it was speaking about the children who were in the armies in Liberia, who they had recruited under this tailor, this leader, who was a sick dictator. And he had recruited like from 14 years to, 20 years old, but they were children, most of them, that he recruited in. And they were showing scenes of these young kids, you know, with these guns. Actually, it was 9 years old. They started them as early as 9 years old. Yeah, but 9 years old, they were carrying guns. And they showed scenes where they were literally finding enjoyment and entertaining and hacking people up and torturing and raping and pillaging and finding sport in murdering people. To the point that there was such anarchy in the nation that even the government troops began to get in on the sport. And they had the guns, and so they would go into villages that they were supposed to be protecting, and they would take complete control of them. They would rape the women. They would, you know, mutilate. They would brutalize the people. They would murder. All in sport. And you ask, how could this happen? Well, we just need to look back a few years at, you know, Nazi Germany. And these are people that you passed on the street. They were just regular people that got caught up into something that was very demonic. And there's this crowd mentality that can take over. And a pressure from the peers where we have to be macho. We have to kind of impress one another now. And it very quickly spins out of control. Now we see also these last three that are mentioned here, these major sins that are going to be during this time. And we see already the beginnings of this, so we know that time is quickly going, amen, in this direction. Sorceries. Most of you are aware of this, but that's pharmakia, and which we get our English word pharmacy, and it has to do with drug abuse and witchcraft. And the literal meaning of the Greek is enchantment with drugs. In modern times, we call it getting high. Getting high. And we are literally witnessing the disintegration of our society. It is. It's just crumbling because of drugs, primarily. And alcohol is a drug as well. There are drug cultures. I was part of one. There are drug religions throughout the earth. And in a sense, folks, I can tell you, anybody that's been involved in drug abuse and in the drug culture, it's really, literally, it's idolatry. It's a worship of another god. The drug becomes your god. And it controls you. And we see that, you know, the use of psychedelic drugs in occult practices throughout the earth. In shamanism, they use drugs to induce an altered state of mind and open themselves up to, you know, infiltration of demons. And so this drug addiction is an idolatrous system. It really is. And I tell you, you know, and those of you who have had that experience, you know what I'm talking about, that at first it's like anything else the devil offers you. He makes you think that you have control of it. He makes you think, casual, you know, user, social drinker, whatever it might be. Pornography, just a little peek here and there, you know, the different addictions that people get in. And then finally, you know, before you know it, he's got you. Even in witchcraft, as young people begin to dabble with these things and begin to play around with fire, at first, the devil gets them to believe that they're actually controlling him. He will do them some favors. They'll think that these demons are subject to them. But before long, they're having to appease these demons. Why? Because that demon is really in charge of them. And if they don't appease them, they're going to have hell to pay. And that's why you have people hurting people and killing people and doing some crazy stuff. Because if they don't, these demons will torment them until they do. At first, he makes you believe that you're in control. You know, that you can dabble in his world and get away with it and have control there. How many know what I'm talking about? But the day comes when he requires payment. And now you belong to me, he says. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. And it's happening. And I just grieve when I look around, especially at the young culture today, the young people that are so caught up in promiscuity, you know. They're caught up in the drug culture. They're caught up in, you know, witchcraft and occultism. And they don't realize, they have no idea how dangerous, how devastating these things are. And unfortunately, some of them are not going to listen. And right now, the spirit of Antichrist is very powerful in the earth today, and it's seducing men and women, boys and girls, and recruiting them for his end time purposes to destroy this final launch on humanity, whom he hates because we were created in God's image. And then we see the fornications, which means really the practice of every conceivable sex act. It's a broad term. Fornications, stealing, you know, these things, even drug addiction leads to all this. And a numbing down and desensitizing and end up giving themselves over, you know, even to sexual immorality. Or a lot of times end up having to sell their bodies to feed the habit. And if they can't sell their bodies, then they have to steal to support their habit. And so all these things are going to be climaxing during this time, and idolatry. And those who will not repent from bowing down to these things. And I believe when it talks about gold and silver and bronze and these idols, it's not just talking about, you know, a god that someone had fashioned to suit themselves, although that is true. But I also believe it talks about the god of money, which is huge. The love of money is the root of all evil in the world. And the love of, yeah, we're making gods out of the things that we have sometimes.